I'll tell you what, folks. I just like to say this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is here to you. It's a pretty day outside. I guess that's just our heart. That's how it is beside your heart, man. I'm glad to be here this morning. I really am. It's good to hear the Lord work, isn't it? He's worked several ways. One of them, miraculously today. Jerry Sauer got out of bed right there. Living proof that the Lord is alive and still working. Open your Bible to your memory verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I didn't know this was your memory verse. I didn't know it until you guys opened up the Bible. And I'm not preaching out of this text, but it still does pertain to what I want to talk to you about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which you just read a little while ago, but John quoted, it says this, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, you're going to walk down like this. God, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is coming. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy chapter 4, I'll read a passage for you, beginning at verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now listen, when somebody charges, you don't have charges brought against you. I had charges brought against me before. I mean, I'm talking charges, man. I'm talking about where, you know, they keep you under the door for a while, and, you know, you're 1 to 20, you know, and I know what it's like to be had charges brought against you. And God is bringing charges against you this morning, and against me. It says this, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Personally, I believe that we are even in the middle of that, or at least we're on the beginning edge of it. We're probably not in the middle of it. I think it's going to get worse. And I don't think it's going to get better. You know how you say it's going to get worse before it gets better? Well, I think it's going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now, God. I come to God on my knees. Look, God, I want you to come here today. I want you to be here today. We're asking you, we're imploring you to be in this service. Father, you are in our hearts. I ask you, God, that you, the Holy Spirit, would be in this building, that you would touch the hearts of your people. God, don't let people be impressed with the preaching of Sam Gift. Let them be impressed with the cross and the coming of Jesus Christ. Let them be impressed to not say something about the message, but to do something after they leave this church that will put a smile on your face. God, help us to love you with our arms and our legs and our lives, not just our lives. Help us, God, to live the way you want us to. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen. Now, it says there in verse 8, the last part of it talks about a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness. And he says, he'll not give it to Paul or to preachers only, but it says unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm here to tell you, I'm sure it's true in your church too, that not all Christians love the Lord's appearing. And I'm going to talk to you today about why Christians don't love the appearing of the Lord. Now, I'm not one of these people that wakes up, occasionally I do, I'm not one of these people that wakes up, you know, and says, perhaps today, you know. I don't really think the Lord's coming back today. I really don't. I'll be very honest with you. I think that we're going to pillow our head tonight, and I don't think he's coming back tomorrow night. I don't think he's coming back the next day. Now, I know the Bible says, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So that means that today qualifies to be the day of his return, because I don't think he's coming. And if you don't think he's coming, then that qualifies to be the day that he's going to come. But the fact is this. Though I don't expect it, I look forward to it, and I love the thought of the Lord coming and getting us out of here. More than anything else, I would like to get out of this world. I'd like to get home to my folks, my family, my wife, and my three boys. I'd like to see them. I got some people I'd like to see get saved. I've got a sister that has not trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I've got a brother-in-law that I've tried to leave the Lord and God gotten saved. I'd like for him to get saved. I'll tell you what, I'd rather Jesus Christ came. She said, how cold. I don't care what you call it. I'd rather see the Lord come back. That's just how it is. You know, I'm talking to some people this morning that are not too excited about Jesus Christ coming back. So I didn't say that as an indictment against the whole church. But when you get this many people together, there's just some folks that the thought of the Lord coming back doesn't come through your head one time in a week's time. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about why Christians do not love. Don't just say expect. It says love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you'll find yourself in here. If you don't, you're doing all right. If you do, then you have to do something about it, okay? First reason I think that Christians don't look forward or love the appearing of Jesus Christ is very simply, business is business. You know, you can say what you need right about interest rates and gas prices and your car payment and how much your health insurance costs. The fact is, people, that we are a wealthy people in this country, are we not? I mean, look, man, you've got more clothes on your back right now than some entire families have halfway around this world. We are doing good. And if you don't have something, you know as well as I do that by the end of this week, you can have it. You out there, flash your plastic money or talk to a banker, stop down at the Baptist Mall, Kmart, you know. You can get what you want if you want it. And I've seen people, you know, they've got to have big coffee makers, little coffee makers, little hot shot, one cup, three squirts, three teaspoons, whatever it is, man. I mean, we have got it if we want it. Business is good. You know what? We've all heard of what happened to the Jews in World War II. We know what Nazi Germany did to the Jews in World War II. We know that they segregated them from their society. We know that they separated them. Then we know that once they did that, they put them in concentration camps and then began to systematically exterminate them as a race. But did you know this? When all of that happened, the one thing about it was not a surprise. It was not a surprise to anybody that that happened. It had loomed on the horizon, big as the morning sun, for a decade before it happened. The Jews knew that their own society was beginning to turn them out for a decade before it ever happened. And they had the option to get out of Germany. You know why they didn't? Because business was good. That's why. They said, you know, I mean, the business is good, and if it looks good, then maybe I'll just have to... But by the time they're ready to go, it was too late, people. You know what your problem this morning is? Your problem is you're too fat and too comfortable. That's your problem. As a Christian, listen, there is no place on the face of the globe to get more comfortable than the U.S. of A. I mean, hey, I like it. I'm glad I'm an American. I don't mean I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm an American because I'm free. I'm glad I'm an American because I can go where I please and do what I choose. But you know what? I'm glad I'm an American just because I like the fringe benefits, man. I mean, I like to be able to drive down the street, and if I feel like a pepperoni pizza, pow, boy, half hour from now, I'm sitting at the table with one in front of me. I just like the idea that if I want to go someplace, you know, or if I need something, I just run down to the store, pow, I got it. I like the benefits of being an American. And you know, our society is made to make us so comfortable that we really don't want to take a trip without an airplane. And that's what's going to happen when the Lord comes back. You know, as long as business is good and things are going well with you, you really don't look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. So I'm here to tell you something, people. If you're not praying for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back today, by the time he does, you will be. Now, you remember that sentence. If you're not praying for the Lord to come back, by the time he comes back, you will be. You know, about the time they start, hey, listen, God hadn't brought judgment on America. You know, they had down Cincinnati, they had queer days. And all the queers and lesbians and everything else got downtown, and they had the, all, it was funny thing. I thought I was going to get appalled by it. I don't know, it's funny. There's this guy, black hair, beard, and a black evening gown. It was the most comical thing I ever saw. And since they had Fountain Square down there in downtown Cincinnati, we couldn't preach, so we went down to the Christian thing, and we heckled. And I remember up there, you know, and I yelled out the back of the crowd, I yelled, AIDS is not the judgment of God. Well, boy, I tell you, you talk about making queer happy, man. I mean, that's better than winking at him, you know. And a bunch of them turned around, boy, this was, I couldn't believe God's Bible in his hand saying that. They turned around, they were all happy, and I said, AIDS is the blessing of God. Now, they didn't quite like that part of it. You see, but I don't believe that AIDS is the judgment of God on America. I believe it's the judgment of God on queers. I don't believe it's the judgment of God on America. You know how I know? Because if you read that book, when God judges a country, it ceases to exist. Listen, when God came in there and he whipped Israel, and the Bible says the Babylonians, sometimes they took the babies by the feet and dashed their brains out. But listen, when God was done judging Israel, there wasn't anybody living in the land. And when God got done with judging Babylon, you can't go visit Babylon today, and you can't go visit Media today, you can't go visit Persia today, and Greece is a nowhere pile. Did you ever notice all this stuff about third world countries? Did you ever have any idea that most third world countries are former first world countries? Well, I thought these are developing nations. Ethiopia developing? In Bible times, man, Ethiopia was the United States of America. Ethiopia was one of the primary nations of the world. Ethiopia is not a third world country that is getting better. Ethiopia is a first rate country that is going down the swammers because it's turning back on God. You think Italy is coming up? Italy, man, Rome was one time was big. It's going down. And the Central America and South America are filled, the jungles are filled with the remnants of great civilizations that were there. Now, man, they're eating lizards and sucking spears and stuff. Nothing's not doing anything. People, I'm going to tell you something. When God is done with America, when judgment hits this country, you know what you're going to do? Maybe for the first time in your life, with sincerity, you're going to pray for the Lord to come back. And right now, while business, if you've got your plans for this afternoon, you've got your plans for tomorrow, you've got your plans for the next day, you've got your vacation plans taken care of, you've got the wedding plans, you've got the college plans, you've got the after-college plans, you've already made yourself president of the company, I mean, you have got your future plans taken care of, and you know something? You don't want the Lord to come back and mess it up. That's just how it is. You know, I watch my boys, and we took them on a vacation one day, and we were on our way to Mount Rushmore, and we're going to see that carving up there on Mount Rushmore. We stopped this little storybook park, they call it, and we stopped this storybook park, and it was like, you know, the crooked man, the crooked house, you know, the crooked dog, all this stuff, and then there was the lady that had the kids in the shoe, and three kids, you know, just heady fun. You know what I watch my boys do? I watch my children do one thing. They played at one thing, and we only had about a half hour to be there. So they played at one thing, and then they ran to the next, they played at the next, they ran to the next, they played at the next, and if they liked something, they didn't do it twice. Because they didn't have time. They wanted to make sure they got to do everything one time. Isn't that America? I looked at my wife, I said, that's Christians in the 80s. I said, we know the Lord's going to come back and mess up our whole game plan, so we want to get all of our toys and play with them at least one time before the Lord gets back. The people this morning, the reason you don't love his appearing is because if the Lord comes back right now, he's going to mess up your plan. You know, I lived down in Auburn, New York, and we moved into those two bedrooms, block house out on the lake. It was a parsonage. I mean, man, you know, steel windows that creaked and cracked and hardly could open them. And we had two bedrooms in the place. When my wife had third child, we had to add on. So we added on, and while we added on, we sided it and made it look going to be a nice looking house when we're done. And I told my wife, I joked about it, I said, my luck, I said, by the time we get this place done, God will come back and ruin the whole thing, you know, we'll get a chance to enjoy it. Well, that didn't happen. By the time I got it done, God told me out of there. You know how you are, eh? You got your new toy and you're scared to death that God is going to come back when you play with it. People, we are having too good of a time. Now, I'm not telling you that go out there, you know, like the Catholics and take a whip and whip your back at it. What I am saying is this. Don't get so caught up in this country of ours. Don't get so caught up in your American lifestyle that you don't love his appearance. If you find out that you have been living, and you have, you've been living and not even thinking about the Lord coming back because everything is okay. Oh, I know the price of gas has gone up. You know, I can't get over it. The big thing in Bible-believing fundamental circles is that we're going to go through the tribulation. I talked with an independent Baptist pastor not too long ago, had a meeting with him, and he said, brother, give me a verse that says we're not going to go through the tribulation. So I gave him a couple of them. But, you know, the big thing is we're teaching now that we're going to go through the tribulation, or at least we're going to go through half of the tribulation, or the first half. You know where that comes from? That comes from people who are so soft that every bump in the road must be the tribulation. Gas prices went up to $1.20 a gallon. Man, if that ain't the tribulation, nothing is. Of course, they went back down to 70 cents a gallon. That must be the millennium. That's right. You know, they were up for about 7 years. Now they're back down, and the Antichrist came and left, and we don't know who he was. That's right. You know what your problem? Listen, I can't help but think, during prior to World War II, don't you think there's a bunch of Christians preaching that Hitler was the Antichrist? Buddy, he was persecuting the Jews. I mean, that fellow, man, he was getting a one-world European power together. I mean, there was no doubt about the fact that people were probably preaching that kind of thing. You know something, folks? As soon as trouble hits this country a little bit, you're going to see all across this country fundamentalist preaching that we're going through the tribulation. No, we're going through a little hard time. We're going through a little affliction. Said in that passage, we'll have affliction. But people, business is too good for us to be bothered about loving Jesus Christ coming back. We love him coming back. We're planning tomorrow's activity. I'll tell you another reason why Christians are too busy or don't love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is because they have nothing to fall to. Now, you have to admit, you know, when you have, you know, guys, you know how a man shops? Man doesn't shop. A man gets what he needs. A guy, here's what a guy does. He gets the money, and he says, I need a shirt. He goes in the mall, he gets a place, you know, Kmart, whatever. He goes in there, he gets, I need a shirt, that's a shirt, and that's it. You know, that's that. He can go in, I mean, he needs a car running. Guy walk in, a man, get that thing, go out. A lady doesn't like to buy things. She likes to shop. She goes to the mall. Listen, if a lady finds what she wants in the first store, she can buy it. Guy says, well, is that what you want? Yeah. Same size? Yeah. Same color? Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Buy it. Oh, no. Why? Well, I'm going to go down the other end and see if they got a cheaper out the other store. Then, when she gets down there and finds out it's $3 more, she's talking all the way back there and hoping it hadn't been sold by the time she gets back. Women just kind of, you know, they like to go shopping. Now, men, man, I mean, they sit there with a finger in their nose. They can't stand that. There's nothing to look forward to about that kind of thing. And kids just about go nuts. And if they say, if mom says, you're coming shopping with me, I mean, the kid has nothing to look forward to. You know, that's how the rapture is for some of you. You have nothing to look forward to. You know, the Bible says that there are going to be rewards that are handed out after the blessed hope, after the Lord takes us out of here. You know, the Bible talks about there will be crowns, there will be 5 crowns. This passage talks about when you get. You know something? You sit there and say, well, you know, there's a lot of crowns that a preacher gets that I can't get. All you got to do is love his appearing, you have a crown. Now, I'm in a shame. And you don't look, you don't even have to get out of the chair that you're sitting in right now to gain that crown. You're going to miss it because you don't love it again. Isn't that true? Oh, you know that's the truth. And the fact is this. There are going to be crowns that are given out. There are going to be honors that are given out. There are going to be rewards that are given out. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to be upheld by the Lord and before all of the universe. You know why you don't love it again? Because you don't got anything coming. You don't have anything to look forward to. You don't have anything that you're waiting for. Listen, man, if you got nobody on the ship, it's just the ship that's docking. But if you got somebody that you love, you got something that you're waiting for, you're looking forward to it coming in. Maybe this morning I'm talking to somebody, and on the other side, maybe you're bankrupt. Now, I don't care how much you've got with plastic money this morning. I don't care what your net worth is. I don't care how much you make on the stock. I don't care what your position is in the corporation. What I'm saying this morning is that possibly your investments on the other side are so small and the return is so minimal that when you get there, you are going to be in poverty. And maybe you don't look forward to that. I wouldn't look forward to that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may call this arrogant. You may call me anything you want. I've got something waiting for me on the other side. I've got some stuff waiting for me. I don't know how much. And I'm not really interested in being vastly wealthy. All I'm interested in is having done the job that Jesus Christ wants me to do. But I know if I do that job, I've got something waiting for me. And I want something waiting for me. I'll be real frank with you. I don't like this place. I don't mean this place. I don't mean Plainville. Or I don't mean Connecticut. I don't even mean the United States. I mean this world in general just makes me sick. And I really don't like it. And I really would rather not. What do you have that you're going to keep? I mean, you get a new house, and 3 years after you got it, you got cracks in the ceilings, right? You buy a new car, and 3 years after you got it, man, the doors ain't lining up right, and the rust is coming through the doors. I see people, man, they worship what they drive, and they worship where they live, and you get a new suit. Give this to me. I bought this thing. Now, these are my work clothes. Some of you got blue jeans. I bought that suit. I wore that the first time. And the first time I wore it, I was walking through a grocery store, had it on. It's happened twice. Every time I buy a new suit, it gets baptized. I bought a brand new suit. I walked out, visited the guy's house. Dog bit me right in the leg. Put a hole right in the pant leg. I put a hole right in the dog. Anyway, I wore that suit. First day I wore it, I snagged it. It ran a runner. You can barely see it. It runs all the way up that arm. This thing was sticking out about 5 inches. I mean, if you'd have admitted it, it burnt down. My arm would have blown up. You say, that upset you? No, man. It's just a suit. It's just a suit. I don't worship. I know that's going to happen to him. You know something? Don't worship your car. Don't worship your house. You know something? You look at the things you got. You look at the stuff you own. And you get excited about that. Wouldn't it be nice to be excited about what you got to work for? Now, you stop and ask yourself this morning. I mean, really, seriously, what do you think you have waiting for you over there? You know something you have to admit? You can't even think of what you've done that you should have anything for. Right? You haven't put an investment in. You know, stock market crashed. Everybody got excited and torn up and upset. I like that guy Walton, you know, Walmart store. That fella lost $1 billion. $1 billion. Said when it was done, he was down to his last $7 billion. I'm trying to get that vote. I'm trying to get down to my last $7 billion. But you know why I didn't care whether it fell or not? I didn't have any money. But just not too long ago, we sent a church to a check to a small church needed to try to get a building. You know why? Because we invest in churches. And over the years, we've invested in some things that we're going to get a return on the other side. Now, you know the nice thing about this? I don't know what God's interest rate is. I don't know what, I thank God that it's not controlled by the Federal Reserve. But I know this. I know I'm going to get a return on it. What do you got? What have you invested in this place where you sit? I'm talking about this church. I mean, you might have invested more in a Y membership than you have in this church. What have you invested to take care of your pastor? What have you invested to take care of the Lord? You got missionaries. What have you done for them? What have you suffered? What have you sacrificed so that you'll have something on your side? Listen, if I was sitting like you know what thing you're going to do when the Lord comes back? Like this. Well, I wouldn't be excited about him coming back either, then. Listen, if I was you, I can understand why you don't love his appearance. I can understand why you hope he doesn't come back. You're having a good time here, and you know what? You better have a good time here. Because when you get over there, pal, you may be flopping off. You know why Christians don't love his appearance? They don't love his appearance because they have nothing to anticipate. You know why else they don't love his appearance? That's been this time crazy. And this, I think, is probably something that's almost exclusive to America. We are one of the busiest people on the face of the earth. We Americans, you remember when you're Stephen is still 55 here? Is it 55? It's not a progressive state, it's not 55 yet. Right? Anyway, you know, they remember it was 70 and then they made it 55? I got news for you. In our heads, none of us slowed down. We still move at about 80 or 90 miles an hour, don't we? You know, I say to you, Pastor Dan, you wouldn't believe my, I think the only meeting I've got for the month of May, but you still wouldn't believe my May schedule. The stuff I'm doing, I'm working on trying to finish. The fact is this, people, you know what we Americans tend to do? We Americans tend to be so busy that we forget things. You know one of the things you forget? You forget. You know what your mind is? You know what I find myself doing when I'm driving a meeting? I can be driving, not too long ago, I was on my way from New York, Pennsylvania. And I was going to a meeting. And it was a Saturday, and I'm driving down there. You know what I'm doing on Saturday while I'm driving to this meeting? I am reviewing what I'm going to preach on Monday. I don't mean as far as the messages. Because I don't try to, you know, put my messages up there, I'm going to do this. But I'm talking to God, and I'm trying to get prepared for Sunday, and for Monday, and for Tuesday, and for Wednesday, and for Thursday. And what I'm doing is, in my head, driving this car in a lost country, I'm living next week. And I'm missing today. And I pulled in this McDonald's, and I started reading my Bible. I had to get some Bible reading done, so I pulled in this McDonald's parking lot, and I'm reading my Bible. Right over here is a little shopping center. And I'm reading my Bible. I said, God, mark this down. Try this. You know what that book says? That book says, take those off for tomorrow. For sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know what you're thinking? Your problem right now is you're living tomorrow. How many of you have already got some kind of plans on something you're going to do tomorrow. Let me see your hand. Come on, be honest. You see this? See, you're already taking care of tomorrow. How many of you got plans for today? Let me see your hand. All right? So I bet some of those plans were made yesterday or last week, right? You see how we live ahead of the day we're in. So I'm reading my Bible in this parking lot, and I said, God, I said, I'm supposed to be living for today, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough evil. You may come and mess up my whole schedule tomorrow. So I said, Lord, what can I do for you today? When you get up in the morning and say, God, what can I do for you today? You know what? All of a sudden, you are hit with the urgency of doing something for Jesus Christ today. And Lord said, see that shopping center? I said, yeah. He said, what's going up there and passing stuff? I said, that's what I'll do. And I walked up there, and I just had me a handful of tracks, passed them out till I was done, got in my car, and went on to the meeting. You say, what good was that? I'll find out in the other side. But you know what? I did something today for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what your problem is? Your problem is that you are so busy. You know, Americans, if you ask them to do anything, I don't know, the pastor hasn't said anything. But you know what I find across the country? A pastor says, we need this done in the church, we need that done, and everybody is too busy. You know what? You will find when you hear something needs done, you'll say, I'm too busy, and you don't even know why. Isn't that true? Haven't you ever said, oh, I'm sure I'm not going to do that because I'm going to be too busy? Some of you aren't going to be able to make it to the meetings this week because you're too busy and don't even know why. That's because, listen, we are on the verge of a national nervous breakdown this country. This country is gone nuts, sir. And you're worried about your health insurance and your car insurance and your job security and the union contract. You're so busy, you don't have time to think about the Lord coming back. You don't have time for it. And you think, you know, we have only so many things. You know, I used to work with a computer. And a computer is just an empty machine with all these little empty spaces called bytes. And every one of them bytes like a closet, you know. You open up the door and you put one little piece of information, you close the door, go to the next thing, you open it up, you put in one other piece, you close it, you open up another. And despite the fact that there are an awful lot of them, you still can fill it up. You can fill it up. You can overload it. You can get to the point where they're just all full. You can't take in any more information. You know, that's where we are. I mean, look, you know what? Most of what goes on that you listen to on the evening news is none of your business. Yeah. What do you care about a soup kitchen in California that they're doing the rest? What do you care about what goes on in New York City? What do you care about what... You know, I was listening not too long ago. It was a radio program. I was sitting around and it said, public radio. So if it's public radio, you know it's garbage. There was a national public radio special program about the danger of African elephants going extinct. Now, these people were torn up. I mean, these people were shook, buddy. They were shook about the elephants. I think it's true because I haven't seen any in the last few years. Now, I've driving over here flying. I was looking down. I could not see any elephants. I'm sure they're right. And they're talking about how posters are going around, you know, killing elephants and taking their tusks. Did you ever stop it? Now, look, if they shoot the last elephant this afternoon, let me ask you, how is it going to change your life this week? How many of you are going to go out and buy a nice ivory statue next week you'll not be able to buy because they killed off the last elephant? And the funny thing is it says, the people, you know the people that are most upset about the African elephant dying off? There's people in Europe and America. You know why? You know why they're so upset? There's no African elephant in Europe and America. It says the people that live in Africa are upset because these things come in and crush their garden and tear away one of their kids. And we're saying, oh, don't shoot it. We don't want them all to disappear. They'd like a few of them to disappear. Put it in your backyard, pal. I told them, I said, kill them all. I was cleaving through the other day. They got a whole passel of them over there, man. They won't be extinct. I know where there's still a few. And there's people around you saying, if they killed the last whale this afternoon. I mean, when's the last time you had to go out and buy some whale oil for your land? Right? You're worried about the whales and the snail darter and the poor baby seal. Man, beat them seals in the head. I could tell you. Oh, how cruel. Yep. You better believe it, buddy. If it's the last seal in front of me, I'd beat his head in just to show you I could care less. You worry about too much. Stupid stuff, man. How can anybody say they're worried about African whales when there's people dying of cancer in this country, eh? I'm talking about the social side of it. I'm talking about the spiritual side. I say this. How do you worry about whales and elephants dying when there's people going to hell? But if I was a socialist, I'd say, how can you worry about whales and elephants when you got people over here dying of cancer and got multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy and things like that in this country? And they're killing babies by the bushel of that. You know what your problem is? You listen to about a half hour of tear-jerking stories about a whale. You know, poor, here's the baby whale looking for its mouth to care less about its mama. And here's the poor elephant looking for its papa. Care less about its dad. Care about somebody who lives across the street from the jet. Care about Jesus Christ splitting these clouds, taking you out of here. You know what your problem is? You take the information and you just keep storing it. And so you're worried about acid rain. I couldn't care if we all met. Aren't you worried about acid? No. Aren't you afraid of what it's going to do? I highly doubt all the things you're about. You should take an airplane ride, will you? There's a bunch of them. You know that there's a fact is that there is no scientific proof that acid rain is caused in fact. They can't even prove that acid rain exists. But there's people worried about it. You get a bunch of things. I'm afraid they're going to push the button. Oh, push the button. Buddy, don't bring that button in front of Sam's yet. I'd push that sucker so fast it'd make you. I'm not kidding you, man. I'd push that. Listen, I would take a third world war for the control that our government is putting on us. You know what's happening while I'm talking to you right now? You know what's happening? The borders of the United States of America are being sealed by the military. It's because of drugs. Is it? Is that what it is? When the military starts doing police work, pal, you are in Nazi Germany and Red Russia. When the military, listen, you know what the socialists have been pushing for? The one world has been pushing for? They've been pushing for a federal police force. You know what we got now? We got it. You know what I'll take? I'll take a mushroom cloud to that. I think I told you, man, I live in Fernando, Ohio. And over there about 4 miles from my house, they got a plant that makes you enriched uranium for weapons-grade uranium and nuclear rods for the submarines, you know, the fuel thing. Brother, somewhere in Moscow, they know about Fernando, Ohio. Somewhere in Moscow, they got one of them big SS 24s or 18s, whatever it is, you know, and it says across the front of it in Russian, Fernando, Ohio. And I am at the edge of the crater. 4 miles off, man, I'm about the edge of the crater. We've already got it down. When the sirens go off, we head for the plant. I don't want to be at the edge of the crater. I want to be in the middle of the crater. So why? I've read the book of Jeremiah. You know what I know? I know that a country can take a country, they can invade it, they can overtake it, and they can even take me captive. And turn right around and say, now go on back and just do what you want. Because that's what they did with Jeremiah. You say, that's what I want. And live for God. That's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah was thrown in a can 3 times by his own people. You know what your problem is? Your problem is you've only got so much storage, and you open up every one of them doors, and you're putting in some information that you don't even need. You don't even need it. You're worried about what's going on, and who? And look, I'm sorry, pal. I don't care what goes on in Europe. I don't care what goes on in Africa. I don't care what goes on in China. I don't care what goes on around this world. I don't care what goes on in California. Man, for all I care, if I knew where the crack was, I'd get on the other side of it and jump up and down till I caused it to fall off into the sea. And if I could swim to shore, I'd go to New York and try the same thing. What do you care? Some of you are torn up over something you've seen on the evening news this week that doesn't touch your life in the least. And you got upset because Dan Rather told you about it, like Dan Rather was a broker of truth. You know why you two did this? Here's what you do. You turn on the evening news, and at the end they say this. Now, for the weather. Now remember, you only got so much information, places to put this stuff. And they say this. The high today was 81. The low was 55. The record high was 102, set in 1918. The record low was 15 below zero, set in 1957. The average is 75, and the average high is 79. The average low is 60, and the record, normal low is 60. The high was reached at 11:05 a.m. this morning. The low was reached at 12:05 last night. They go through this thing for half an hour. When they're done, they say, now we'll go through the whole thing in Celsius. You know what you say? And all I got to say, what do you care? What do you care? And let me ask you something. Are you hot right now? Do you need me to tell you that? Let me ask you this. Oh, it's cold in here. Oh, it's cold in here. Oh, I'm cold. Are you feel cold? Do you need somebody to tell you it's warm? I want to know what it is. What do you care what it is outside? Yeah, the high last year at this date, the high was 74. Last year, the low was 47. Next year, what do you care? You know what you do? You fill your brain with that stuff, and you haven't got time to pray for somebody going to hell. You're too busy. You know, I see this country man, and all we do is we look. I like sports, but I couldn't say. I don't even know who won the last Super Bowl, and I don't care. I don't know what the number of the last Super Bowl was. All I know is they're somewhere parallel to Friday the 13th series movies. That's all I know. Friday the 13th at 900, or whatever it is. People, you keep too much junk in your... Listen, you know what your brain looks like? Your brain looks like your house. Decorated with a bunch of junk that's non-functional. Now that's the problem. You know what it's done? It's made you be too busy to love the appearance of an old Jesus. All I'm telling you is, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go off someplace on a day like this. Look at that day out there, man. You say, yeah, shut up and get out there. You ought to find yourself a nice grassy spot, sit down on that cool grass, and just put everything out of your brain and think about Jesus Christ. That's the key. That would be the doctor orders that as medicine for you. Go out this afternoon, when you're done eating, just sit out in a tree in your backyard and burp, and think about the Lord coming back. Think about that. Quit thinking about the job tomorrow. Quit thinking about how to do the work, you know. Quit thinking, ladies, about how you've got to clean for spring and how you've got to worry about your mother-in-law coming over and judging the church. Quit worrying about that stuff. Get away somewhere and just look around you and think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And stop loving his appearance. Why else do Christians not love his appearance? Well, they don't love his appearance because they fear his judgment. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We are going to stand before Jesus Christ. Every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ. There's no hope. You haven't got a hope of getting away from that. You know what some of you fear right around now? You fear a little envelope coming in the mail saying you're going to be audited by the IRS. I don't know if anybody's ever been audited by the IRS, but you get scared. You know? Every now and then I call preachers, you know, and I say, I'm with the IRS, it's Bob Lassie, I think I'm back. You know, you may fear that never happens. Some of you get in a car and you're just scared to death that somebody's going to run a red light and drive you into the side of your car and kill you. You worry about that crap. You know, I get on airplanes and say, you afraid of crashing? No. You know why? Because if I'm going to crash, there's nothing I can do about it. Now look, if they ask me to close the door, I'm going to be careful to make sure I close it down. You know, I mean, if it flies open while we're flying, it's my fault. I'm going to do what I can. They don't even ask me to close the door. They say, go sit in the plane, shut up. I sit in the plane, shut up. If it's going to crash, it's going to crash whether I'm scared, whether I'm confident, whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm, you know, hanging off the ceiling by my fingernails. Even then, so I don't worry about it. People, look, there's a lot of things you can fear that never do happen. Isn't that true? How many times you go to the doctor thought you had cancer? Isn't that true? How many times you didn't go to the doctor but you thought you did? And you guys run around, you've had 50 heart attacks, you ain't going to tell your wife yet, right? I mean, how many times you come... You go in the next room so nobody sees it. You don't want anybody to find out. And you never, you know what? You'll die of criminal athlete's foot. At the age of 115 or something. You'll never die of a heart attack anyway. You'll never, I had a preacher's wife, and his wife had cancer. She says, I know she was sick and having problems. She says, I'm sure I've got cancer. She went, her cancer will be due in 3 more months. Now, there's a lot of things you can fear that never come about. Isn't that true? Let me ask you this. Now, I'll show you. How many of you, just not even maybe something I've named, how many of you have had at least one time in just the last year, if I said in your life, everybody put their hand up, in the last year, how many of you have feared something that might happen and it never came about? Just in the last year. Let me see that. Come on, be honest. Come on. See that? Or you go right here. Everybody goes. You know what you ought to fear? I'm going to take something to fear, and it's going to happen. You're going to stand in front of God. You're going to stand in front of your Creator. You're going to stand in front of your Savior. You're going to stand in front of your own. You're going to stand in front of your Maker. You're going to stand in front of the one that jump-started your heart and stopped it when he wants to. And I don't care how many restaurants they got you on, buddy, when he wants your soul, it's gone. You understand that? Look, this world, this scientific community of ours can't even understand how life starts, and they can't stop it from stopping when God wants to stop it. You better fear things that are hurt. You know why some of you don't love it to change? Oh, man, you've been bad, that's why. You know, I'll go home in about a week, and I'll see my boys. Generally speaking, my boys look forward to me coming home. Sometimes it's because I'll go out and buy them something. But it's not always that, because I really do. I want them to appreciate me coming home. My little son Luke, he'll be 3 next month. And I was out on the road for 3 weeks, 2 months ago. And he'd go to bed at night. And his mom says, he'd say, pray for my daddy. And they'd pray for me. And he'd start crying. He'd say, I want my dad. He wants his dad. He said, I want my dad and my mom. He wants me to come back. He loves my appearance. There's times he's been bad. And if I go away from the house for something, you know, I go into town and he's bad and he knows when I'm coming home, he's going to get worn out. He doesn't love my appearance anymore. My boys, my other two boys, when dad equals judgment, they're not excited about dad coming home. You understand what I'm saying? You know why some of you fear his coming instead of love it? Because all those things that you have hidden so well, that you never got caught for and never will get caught for on this earth. I'm not going to tell you to get caught for all your sins. I'd be a fool and a liar if I told you to get caught for all your sins. But I'm here to tell you to get caught for all your sins. Then there's somewhere I can bat no, you can't bypass it. You can't end run it. You can't fast talk your way through it. You are going to stand in front of God himself. You know why you don't love his appearing? Because all you can see about that appearing is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Not just the lack of rewards that you will not receive, but the judgment that you will. I'd fear that too. Oh, so you only think you don't have anything to ask for? I got a ton of stuff here. I got a ton of stuff here. Your pastor said, now these people know how rotten I know. You don't know how rotten I am. You know I'm rotten because you know I got the same heart that you got. That's how I know you're rotten. And knowing myself as well as I do, you're pretty rotten. Now, I mean it. Listen, the only reason I have a very low estimation of you is because that guy that I look in the mirror this morning at is one of the sorriest, lowest scumbags I've ever seen. He has got a rotten heart, and the only encouragement I have is I know that I am not as bad as you. Listen, one of the most reassuring verses in the Bible is that Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. You are looking at the assistant to the chief. I'm glad he said he's the chief, well, I think I was in line for that office. All the stuff that I'm going to have to answer for, I'm not. Say what? I can't get away from it anyway. I'm not going to worry about it. You know what I figure on doing? I figure on crying for about 20 years. The other thing that bothers me is that Benson comes before Dick. That bothers me. He's going to have his over. He's going to be laughing on the sideline when he calls. Lord's going to say, Gip, or Dip, or Grip, or Gripe, or Jipe, or Gip, or whoever you are, Gibbs. I'll come. Whatever it is, I'll come. You know what I figure? I just figure that when the Lord is done with me, people, listen, you're going to see me sob. Like I have no... You ever sobbed? I'm not talking about crying. Have you ever wept? I'm not talking about crying. Have you ever howled? Have you ever sobbed? You know what? You're going to do that at judgment day. No wonder you don't love his appearance. His appearing to you means he's going to set fire your whole kingdom. That means that your wood, your hay, your stubble, your gold, your silver, and your precious stones are going to be done nothing but burnt. No wonder you don't love. No wonder you'd rather see a day like today and all you can think about is the picture. No wonder. No wonder all you can think about is getting out of here till that guy is shut up before the roast burns, and let's just go for a ride this afternoon. Let's go down to the lake. Let's just enjoy ourselves, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow Christ might come and mess up the whole thing. Isn't that true? You know what I've seen across America? I've seen Christians, Bible, King James, all the slop you want to say, Christians who have ceased to love it, period. Why? Because business has been too good, that's why. Because they got nothing to anticipate for when it comes. Because they're too busy. Because they're just downright scared of what they got coming when it does come. I'd like to stand with your head bowed. Now look, you know what I have said to you is true. And if you look at it, you know that I didn't say it to you because I don't like you, or I didn't say it to you because I'm mad at you. The fact is that if you would get right on what I've said, you would benefit from it in eternity. Not just here, you'd benefit from it in eternity. You know, if somebody could get right at this invitation and 1,000 years from now come to me in heaven and say, Sam, sure glad you preached that message. You made me mad that morning, but I sure thank you for that message. Because right after that, I got some priorities straightened out, and I got some things. But the fact is this, people, you know what we Americans tend to do? We Americans tend to be so busy that we forget things. You know one of the things you forget? You forget that you're supposed to love as a period. I mean, you know where your mind is? Your mind is, you know what I find myself doing when I'm driving to a meeting? I can be driving, not too long ago, I was on my way from New York to Pennsylvania, and I was going to a meeting. And it was a Saturday, and I'm driving down there. You know what I'm doing on Saturday while I'm driving to this meeting? I am reviewing what I'm going to preach on Monday. I don't mean as far as the messages, because I don't try to, you know, put my messages up, say, I'm going to do this, this, this. But I'm talking to God, and I'm trying to get prepared for Sunday, and for Monday, and for Tuesday, and for Wednesday, and for Thursday. And what I'm doing is, in my head, driving this car in a lost country, I'm living next week. And I'm missing today.
And I pulled in this McDonald's, and I started reading my Bible. I had to get some Bible reading done, so I pulled in this McDonald's parking lot, and I'm reading my Bible. And right over here is a little shopping center, and I'm reading my Bible. I said, God, now mark this down. Try this. You know what that book says? That book says, take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know what you're thinking? Your problem right now is you're living tomorrow. How many of you have already got some kind of plans on something you're going to do tomorrow? Let me see your hand. Come on, be honest. You see this? You see, you're already taking care of tomorrow. How many of you got plans for today? Let me see your hand. All right? So I bet some of those plans were made yesterday or last week, right? You see how we live ahead of the day we're on. So I'm reading my Bible in this parking lot, and I said, God, I said, I'm supposed to be living for today, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough evil. You may come and mess up my whole schedule tomorrow. So I said, Lord, what can I do for you today? When you get up in the morning and say, God, what can I do for you today? You know what? All of a sudden, you are hit with the urgency of doing something for Jesus Christ today. And Lord said, see that shopping center? I said, yeah. He said, why don't you go up there and pass some tracks? I said, that's what I'll do. And I walked up there, and I just had me a handful of tracks, passed them out till I was done, got in my car, and went on to the meeting. You say, what good was that? I'll find out on the other side. But you know what? I did something today for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what your problem is? Your problem is that you are so busy. You know, Americans, if you ask them to do anything, I don't know, your pastor hasn't said anything, but you know what I find across this country? A pastor says, we need this done in the church, we need that done, and everybody is too busy. You know what? You will find when you hear something needs done, you'll say, I'm too busy, and you don't even know why. And that's true. Haven't you ever said, oh, I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm going to be too busy. Some of you aren't going to be able to make it to the meetings this week because you're too busy and don't even know why. That's because, listen, we are on the verge of a national nervous breakdown in this country. This country is gone nuts, though. And you're worried about your health insurance and your car insurance and your job security and the union contract. You're so busy, you don't have time to think about the Lord coming back. You don't have time for it. And you take, we have only so many things. You know, I used to work with computers. And a computer is just an empty machine with all these little empty spaces called bytes. And every one of them bytes like a closet, you know, and you open up the door and you put one little piece of information, you close the door, go to the next one, you open it up, you put in one other piece, and you close it, you open up another, and in spite of the fact that there are an awful lot of them, you still can fill it up. You can fill it up. You can overload it. You can get to the point where they're just all full. You can't take in any more information. You know, that's where we are. I mean, look, you know what? Most of what goes on that you listen to on the evening news is none of your business. You know that? What do you care about a soup kitchen in California? They're just beating me up. What do you care about what goes on in New York City? What do you care about what... You know, I was listening not too long ago. It was a radio program. And we're sitting around, and it said, it was public radio. So if it's public radio, you know it's garbage. And it was a national public radio special program about the danger of African elephants going extinct. Now, these people were torn up. I mean, these people were shook, buddy. They were shook about the elephants disappear. I think it's true because I haven't seen any in the last few years. Now, I was driving over here flying. I was looking down. I could not see any elephants. I'm sure they're right. And they're talking about how poachers are going around, you know, killing the elephants and taking their tusks. I don't care. Did you ever stop? Now, look, if they shoot the last elephant this afternoon, let me ask you, how is it going to change your life this week? How many are going to go out and buy a nice ivory statue next week you'll not be able to buy because they killed off the last elephant? And the funny thing is it says, the people, you know the people that are most upset about the African elephant dying off? It says people in Europe and America. You know why? You know why they're so upset? There's no African elephant in Europe and America. It says the people that live in Africa are upset because these things come in and crush their garden and carry away one of their kids. And we're saying, oh, don't shoot it. We don't want them all to disappear. They'd like a few of them to disappear. Put it in your backyard, pal. I told them, I said, kill them all. I was at Cleveland Zoo the other day. They got a whole passel of them over there, man. They won't be extinct. I know where there's still a few. And if people around you, save the whale. If they killed the last whale this afternoon. I mean, when's the last time you had to go out and buy some whale oil for your lamp? Right? You're worried about the whales and the snail darter and the poor baby seal. Man, beat them seals in the head. I could carry. Oh, how cruel. Yep. You better believe it, buddy. If it was last seal in front of me, I'd beat a 10-inch just to show you I could care less. You worry about too much. Stupid stuff, man. How can anybody say they're worried about African whales when there's people dying of cancer in this country, huh? I'm talking about the social side of it. I'm talking about the spiritual side. I say this. How do you worry about whales and elephants dying when there's people going to hell? But if I was a socialist, I'd say, how can you worry about whales and elephants when you got people over here dying of cancer and got multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy and things like that in this country? And they're killing babies by the bushel bag. You know what your problem is? You listen to about a half hour of tear-jerking stories about a whale. You know, poor, here's the baby whale looking for its mom. Could care less about its mama. And here's the poor elephant is looking for its papa. Care less about its dad. Care about somebody who lives across the street from you, Jack. Care about Jesus Christ splitting these clouds, taking you out of here. That's what you ought to care about. You know what your problem is? You take the information and you just keep storing it, and you're worried about acid rain. I couldn't care if we all melt. Aren't you worried about acid rain? No. Aren't you afraid of what it's going to do? I highly doubt all the trees will die. You take an airplane ride, will you? There's a bunch of them. You know that there's a fact is that there is no scientific proof that acid rain is caused in factories. They can't even prove that acid rain exists. But there's people worried about it. You get a bunch of people thinking, I'm afraid they're going to push the button. Oh, push the button. Buddy, don't bring that button in front of Sam Gibbs. I'd push that sucker so fast it'd make you. I'm not kidding you, man. I'd push that. Listen, I would take a third world war to the control that our government is putting on us. You know what's happening while I'm talking to you right now? You know what's happening? The borders of the United States of America are being sealed by the military. That don't scare you? Oh, it's because of drugs. Is it? Is that what it is? I don't like it. When the military start doing police work, pal, you are in Nazi Germany and Red Russia. When the military, listen, you know what this kind of, the socialists have been pushing for? The one world has been pushing for? They've been pushing for a federal police force. You know what we got now? We've got it. You know what I'll take? I'll take a mushroom cloud to that. I think I told you, man, I live in Fernald, Ohio. And over there about 4 miles from my house, they got a plant that makes you enrich uranium for weapons-grade uranium and nuclear rods for the submarines, you know, the fuel place. Brother, somewhere in Moscow, they know about Fernald, Ohio. Somewhere in Moscow, they got one of them big SS 24s or 18s, whatever it is, you know, and it says across the front of it in Russian, Fernald, Ohio. And I am at the edge of the crater. 4 miles off, man, I'm about the edge of the crater. We've already got it down. When the sirens go off, we head for the plant. I don't want to be at the edge of the crater. I want to be in the middle of the crater. You know, people are saying, aren't you afraid of a world war? I'm not afraid of least. You know why? I've read the book of Jeremiah. You know what I know? I know that a country can take a country, they can invade it, they can overtake it, and they can even take me captive. And turn right around and say, now go on back and just do what you want, because that's what they did with Jeremiah. You say, that's what I want, then live for God. That's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah was thrown in a can 3 times by his own people. You know what your problem is? Your problem is you've only got so much storage, and you open up every one of them doors, and you're putting in some information that you don't even need. You don't even need it. You're worried about what's going on. And who? I'm sorry, pal. I don't care what goes on in Europe. I don't care what goes on in Africa. I don't care what goes on in China. I don't care what goes on around this world. I don't care what goes on in California. Man, for all I care, if I knew where the crack was, I'd get on the other side of it and jump up and down till I caused it to fall off into the sea. And if I could swim to shore, I'd go to New York and try the same thing. What do you care? Some of you are torn up over something you've seen on the evening news this week that doesn't touch your life in the least. And you got upset because Dan Rather told you about it, like Dan Rather was the broker of truth. You know why you too busy? Here's what you do. You turn on the evening news. And at the end, they say this. Now, for the weather. Now, remember, you only got so much information, places to put this stuff. And they say this. The high today was 81. The low was 55. The high, the record high was 102, set in 1918. The record low was 15 below zero, set in 1957. The average is 75. And the average high is 79. The average low is 60. And the record, normal low is 60. The high was reached at 11.05 a.m. this morning. The low was reached at 12.05 last night. They go through this thing for half an hour. When they're done, they say, now we'll go through the whole thing in Celsius. You know what you said? And all I got to say, what do you care? What do you care? And let me ask something. Are you hot right now? You need me to tell you that? Let me ask you this. Oh, it's cold in here. Oh, it's cold in here. Oh, I'm cold. Are you still cold? Do you need somebody telling you it's warm? I want to know what it is. What do you care what it is outside? You know, the high last year at this date, the high was 74. Last year, the low was 47. Next year, what do you care? You know what you do? You fill your brain with that stuff, and you haven't got time to pray for somebody going to hell. You're too busy, pal. You're too busy. You know, I see this country man, and all we do is look, I like sports, but I couldn't say, I don't even know who won the last Super Bowl. And I don't care. I don't know what the number of the last Super Bowl was. All I know is they're somewhere parallel to Friday the 13th series movies. That's all I know. Friday the 13th, the 900th, or whatever it is. People, you keep too much junk in your... Listen, you know what your brain looks like? Your brain looks like your house. Decorated with a bunch of junk that's non-functional. Now, that's the problem. You know what it's done? It's made you be too busy to love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I'm telling you is, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go off someplace on a day like this. Look at that day out there, man. You say, yeah, shut up and get out there. You ought to find yourself a nice grassy spot, sit down on that cool grass, and just put everything out of your brain and think about Jesus Christ coming back. That's what you, that would be the doctor orders that as medicine for you. Go out this afternoon, when you're done eating, just sit out in a tree in the backyard and burp, and think about the Lord coming back. Think about that. Quit thinking about the job tomorrow. Quit thinking about how to do the work, you know. Quit thinking, ladies, about how you've got to clean for spring and how you've got to worry about your mother-in-law coming over and judging your cooking. Quit worrying about that stuff. Get away somewhere and just look around you and think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And try loving his appearance. Why else do Christians not love his appearing? Well, they don't love his appearing because they fear his judgment. Yeah, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We are going to stand before Jesus Christ. Every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ. There's no hope. You haven't got a hope of getting away from that. You know what some of you fear right around now? You fear a little envelope coming in the mail saying you're going to be audited by the IRS. I don't know if any of you have ever been audited by the IRS, but you get scared. You know, every now and then I call preachers, you know, and I say, I'm with the IRS. It's about last year's income tax. You know, you may fear that never happened. Some of you, you get in a car and you're just scared to death that somebody's going to run a red light and drive you into the side of your car and kill you. And you worry about that stuff. You know, I get on airplanes, people say, you afraid of crashing? No. You know why? Because if I'm going to crash, there's nothing I can do about it. Now look, if they ask me to close the door, I'm going to be careful to make sure I close it right. You know, I mean, if it flies open while we're flying, it's my fault. I'm going to do what I can. They don't even ask me to close the door. They say, go sit in the plane, shut up. I sit in the plane, shut up. If it's going to crash, it's going to crash whether I'm scared, whether I'm confident, whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm, you know, hanging off the ceiling by my fingernails. It really doesn't matter. So I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. People, look. There's a lot of things you can fear that never do happen. Isn't that true? How many times have you gone to the doctor and thought you had cancer? Isn't that true? How many times you didn't go to the doctor but you thought you did? And you guys run around, you've had 50 heart attacks, you ain't going to tell your wife yet, right? I mean, how many times you come? You go in the next room so nobody sees you. You don't want anybody to find out. And you never, you know what? You'll die of terminal athlete's foot. At the age of 115 or something. You'll never die of a heart attack anyway. I had a preacher's wife, and his wife had cancer. She says, I know she was sick and having problems. She says, I'm sure I've got cancer. She went. Her cancer will be due in 3 more months. Now, there's a lot of things you can fear that never come about. Isn't that true? Let me ask you this. Now, I'll show you. How many of you, just not even maybe something I've named, how many of you have had at least one time in just the last year, if I said in your life, everybody put their hand up, in the last year, how many of you have feared something that might happen and it never came about just in the last year? Let me see. Come on, be honest. Give them up. See that? Look, you go like this. Everybody goes, you know what you ought to fear? I'm going to tell you something you can fear, and it's going to happen. You're going to stand in front of God. You're going to stand in front of your Creator. You're going to stand in front of your Savior. You're going to stand in front of your owner. You're going to stand in front of your Maker. You're going to stand in front of the one that jump-started your heart and stopped it when he wants to, and I don't care how many respirators they got you on, buddy, when he wants your soul, it's gone. You understand that? Look, this world, this scientific community of ours can't even understand how life starts, and they can't stop it from stopping when God wants to stop it. You better fear things than him. You know why some of you don't love it, Karen? It's like dad coming home when you've been bad, that's why. You know, I'll go home in about a week, and I'll see my boys. Generally speaking, my boys look forward to me coming home. Sometimes it's because I'll go out and buy them something. But it's not always that, because I really do. I want them to appreciate me coming home. My little son Luke, he'll be 3 next month. And I was out on the road for 3 weeks, 2 months ago. And he'd go to bed at night. His mom says, he'd say, pray for my daddy. And they'd pray for me. And he'd start crying and say, I want my dad. He wants his dad. He said, I want my dad and my mom. Except he wants me to come back. He loves my appearance. There's times he's been bad. And if I go away from the house for something, you know, I go into town and he's bad and he knows when I'm coming home, he's going to get worn out. He didn't love my appearance too much. My boys, my other two boys, when dad equals judgment, they're not excited about dad coming home. You understand what I'm saying? You know why some of you fear his coming instead of love it? Because all those things that you have hidden so well, that you never got caught for and never will get caught for on this earth. I'm going to tell you you're going to get caught for all your sin. I'd be a fool and a liar if I told you you're going to get caught for all your sin. But I'm here to tell you you're going to get caught for all your sin. Just not down here. Then there's somewhere I can bat. No, you can't bypass it. You can't end run it. You can't fast talk your way through it. You are going to stand in front of God himself. You know why you don't love his appearing? Because all you can see about that appearing is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Not just the lack of rewards that you will not receive, but the judgment that you will. I'd feel that too. So if you think you don't have anything to answer for, I got a ton of stuff to answer for. I got a ton of stuff to answer for. Your pastor said, now these people know how rotten I am. No, you don't know how rotten I am. You know I'm rotten because you know I got the same heart that you got. That's how I know you're rotten. And knowing myself as well as I do, you're pretty rotten. Now, I mean that. Listen, the only reason I have a very low estimation of you is because that guy that I look in the mirror this morning at is one of the sorriest, lowest scumbags I've ever seen. He has got a rotten heart, and the only encouragement I have is I know that I am not as bad as you. Listen, one of the most reassuring verses in the Bible is that Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. You're looking at the assistant to the chief. I'm glad he said he's the chief, so I think I was in line for that office. The people, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. I talked to a man in my church years ago. He said, I'm so afraid when the Lord comes back, all the stuff that I'm going to have to answer for. I'm not. Say, what? I can't get away from it anyway. I'm not going to worry about it. You know what I figure on doing? I figure on crying for about 20 years. The other thing that bothers me is that benson comes before gift. That bothers me. He's going to have his over. He's going to be laughing on the sideline when he calls. The Lord's going to say, Gibbs. I'll come. Whatever it is, I'll come. And you know what I figure? I just figured that when the Lord is done with me, people, listen, you're going to see me sob. Like I have no. You ever sobbed? I'm not talking about crying. Have you ever wept? I'm not talking about crying. Have you ever howled? Have you ever sobbed? You know what? You're going to do that expecting something. No wonder you don't love his appearance. His appearing to you means he's going to set fire to your whole kingdom. That means that your wood, your hay, your stubble, your gold, your silver, and your precious stones are going to be done nothing but burn. No wonder you don't love. No wonder you'd rather see a day like today and all you can think about is the picture. No wonder. No wonder all you can think about is getting out of here till that guy is shut up before the roast burns, and let's just go for a ride this afternoon, let's go down the lake, let's just enjoy ourselves, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow Christ might come and mess up the whole thing. Isn't that true? You know what I've seen across America? I've seen Christians, Bible, King James, all the slop you want to say. Christians who have ceased to love his appearance. Why? Because business has been too good, that's why. Because they got nothing to anticipate for when it comes. Because they're too busy. Because they're just downright scared of what they got coming when he does come. I'd like to stand with your heads bowed. Now look, you know what I have said to you is true. And if you look at it, you know that I didn't say it to you because I don't like you, or I didn't say it to you because I'm mad at you. The fact is that if you would get right on what I've said, you would benefit from it in eternity. Not just here, you benefit from it in eternity. You know, if somebody could get right at this invitation and 1,000 years from now come to me in heaven and say, Sam, so glad you preached that message. You made me mad that morning, but I sure thank you for that message. Because right after that, I got some